But we've dealt with kind of the topic of fearing God, and we've also talked about following Jesus, who is God, and then experiencing the Holy Spirit again, who is God. And so the first 3 weeks we talked about that, and then we've been talking about the church. We talked about fellowship, and we've talked about teaching, and now we're going to talk a little bit and probably, hopefully, experience what communion is. And so it's going to be a little bit of a more of an experience this morning than anything. And so I want you to be able to experience that too. So, but a couple questions I want to start off this morning is: have you ever experienced real community? Maybe you could show me by hands. Has anybody ever experienced real community? Yes. What did it look like? What were some elements that made it real? Yeah, being real and just being who you are, and they didn't kick you out, right? Yeah. I agree. The times that I've felt the most alive and the most real in community is when I could be honest about who I was. That's when I felt like I was the most real and the most authentic. And there was community, right? So that's a place where you can be yourself. You can be authentic. Think about this. You don't have to answer this, but when was the last time you felt that sense of community? I mean, maybe somebody wants to share. When was the last time you felt real community?
Yeah. It's like, I can't believe how large my family is. Like, I can think, you know, I'm the only one left from the family I grew up with. Just everybody came together, and I've got a much bigger family than I ever thought.
Yeah, that's a picture right there of what a community looks like. Loving each other, praying for each other. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Mike. Yeah. How long ago was that? I wasn't here, right? I don't remember it. Yeah. But you felt like a part of a group, a community. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Bob. Yeah, and I think what happens then is because we're not all monks or what do they call the people that go in isolation? Hermits, thank you. That's another word. Our spirituality, our faith, our belief in God is expressed in community, right? And so what I've realized, and not to bash America, because that's not the point, but we live in a culture, a society that is very isolated and very one self you know, it's me and God. And in reality, it's not only me and God, right? It's me expressing my love for God in community as you are expressing your love for God in community, as we express love for each other in community, right? That's how we kind of express our spirituality and who we are and our love for God, right? And so when you think of the word community and you think of the word communion, don't you think there's some similarity in that word, in those two words? That there's this, this comes from the same root. But oftentimes, in church, if we were a bigger church, it's very easy to hide. It's real easy to come in and say, how you doing? I'm fine. You know, I'm good. And then go home. In reality, you might not be fine. And so that's why I really like the times of prayer and the honesty that we have with one another and the authenticity, like Dell shared last week. I really appreciate him. He's not the only one that shares from his heart. I'm just saying that was just an example. And he shared something that is a struggle. I mean, that most people, it's not easy to share. Hey, this is what we're struggling with in our family. Please pray for us. And so that's something that community is. And so Matthew 22:37 through 39, Jesus gives us this example, or he tells us this, right? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And everything, Jesus talked about this, right? Everything that all the laws, everything goes under those two things. If you're loving God and if you're loving others, then everything else is fulfilled, right? And so that's what community looks like. And so as a church, what does God call us to be? And how are we doing that? In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through, well, I'm sorry, 17. I want to read this to you, and I want to give you kind of an example of what was going on. When Paul was writing this, he was expressing himself and telling the church what was going on and how it shouldn't look like. The church shouldn't look like this, but it should look like this. And so 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt that there, I read the same one, among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is my cup. This is the cup, is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until his coming. And so when we do communion, there's a lot of things going on. One is to remember Jesus' death. But in reality, we could do that at home by ourselves, right? But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus did it in community. He showed us how to do it, and then he told us to do it in community. He told us to do it together as the church. And I think that he told them to do that in community because he wanted to make sure that we were not in this isolation, and that we were showing love to one another and that we were being loved back from others. And so we know that church activities that we do, every event has food, right? I mean, what event doesn't have food? We went over to family last night, and it was around topic food. And it's a great time to get together and just celebrate. We had a common reason to get together. We were family. And Jesus told the church, the common ground that you have, even though you're not blood, you're not from the same family as I am, but we have one thing in common, and that is Christ. Christ is the common denominator in us. And so when we come together to the table, when we come together in communion, it's not like, okay, Deb over here and Mike over here, they're doing communion by themselves, and maybe they have something against each other. Maybe she's angry at him for something. I don't think that's true, but in reality, that doesn't make sense, does it? Because if someone's upset at the other person and we're having communion together, that's not community. That's not the church. And so Paul warns us, God warns us, that when we take communion, we need to make sure that we are right with him. And he wants to make sure that we're right with one another. Right? Because that's not real community if we're upset at each other, if we're not loving each other. So he cautions us, before we come to the table, go make things right with your brother or your sister. And so this morning, I'm going to talk a little more, and we're going to watch Francis Chan, and we're going to talk a little more about communion. But I want you to start thinking about what communion looks like, and to be asking the Lord if there's something in your heart that you need to make right with him, or that you need to make right with somebody else. And so, as we continue, let's think about that. What binds us together? Christ binds us together. And most of the time we share things that Christ has done in our lives, right? He's changed my heart. He's changed my life. He's made me, he's transformed me. And so I share that with you, and that builds your faith, and you tell me things that God has done in your life, and that builds my faith, and that's another piece of what community looks like. So John 13:34 is a good verse to memorize, and I know Anna knows this one, but I'm not going to call on her. John 13:34, love one another, right? This is a new command, it says in Scripture, but it's really just summarizing all the other commands, right? A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Because God has loved us first, we must love one another. That's the only way that we can love people, is if we've experienced God's love. If we know he loves us, and if we know that we can give that love. If we know that, then we can give that love to other people. So, have you ever told somebody that you would die for them? Anybody want to admit that? You have? Joe? Dave, you've said that? You've told someone that you'd die for them? Yeah. So that's what the scripture says, right? True love? Or where is it? John 15, verse 12. Greater love, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And what did Jesus do? He laid down his life for us. He died on the cross, and he gave it all. He took upon the sin of every single person on this earth, and he died for us. And that is what true love looks like. So, the church, what does it look like? Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to breaking of bread and to prayer. This is what community looks like. Devoting themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so, as we continue, I want you to watch Francis Chan. I guess that's all right. And continue to think about what community looks like, and communion, and doing it as a family of God. So let's watch.
After we got married, I just looked at my wife and I said, you know, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of the fighting that goes on. I'm tired of not knowing where the money goes. I'm starting to question a lot of the professionalism. Like, it seems more like a concert than it is like a worship service. And I just remember asking her, don't you want something different? Because I do, and I'd love to just gather some people in our living room and just pray with them, study the Bible together, and just have a sense of authenticity. Not that everything else was bad, it's just I long for something different. And I just questioned maybe some of the professionalism, maybe some of the details caused us to maybe get diverted from the original intention. And I told her, I don't really care if I'm a professional pastor, I'll wait tables, I'll do whatever. I just really long for this expression of church. And as we began to pursue it, it was a beautiful thing, but pretty soon it grew larger and larger to where we needed a building, and then a larger building, and then multiple services. And I think we did our best. We did our best in trying to teach everything the Bible taught, whether it was popular or not. We tried to be authentic in our worship and really sing to Him. We were trying to be very careful and open with all the finances, but at the end of the day, we neglected some pretty important things, such as love one another, which is only the second greatest command in all of Scripture. But we're doing a lot of things right. We just realized, I think we're missing it still. I think there's more. And as we evaluated, it was a lot more painful this time because now we didn't have anyone else to blame. Now we noticed how we had neglected some of the important things in Scripture. And I think we all see it. I think that anyone that has any type of church experience looks at the Bible, they look at what they're experiencing, and they're going, why not today? Why couldn't we do that today? And as we do that, it's the church becoming more and more, I believe, what God called it to be. In fact, I think if God showed you everything and said, look, here's everything you're doing wrong, I think we would have been paralyzed. It may have been overwhelming. And the important thing is to remember, we can do this. God wants us to do this. Let's keep finding what's unbiblical and move toward a more and more biblical pattern, because it's not that difficult. I think it's something that a lot of us want. We can fool ourselves thinking, you know what, at least we're doing something. And something is always better than nothing. But I would challenge that. Because I look in Scripture, there are times when the church was just missing it. And God says, it'd be better for you just not to do anything than to do that. For example, when you come to this idea of the Lord's Supper or communion, I mean, Paul makes some pretty strong statements in 1 Corinthians 11. He goes, you know, when you guys get together to practice this thing that you call the Lord's Supper, he goes, that's not even remotely close to what God wanted. He goes, in fact, some of you, it would have been better if you didn't show up, that you didn't break bread together. This is something we really had to wrestle with, because we're going, okay, what was the Lord's Supper like back then? What was communion? What was God's intention? Because I don't want to just assume that because we got a bunch of people in the room and we took bread and we took the cup, that we're actually practicing the true Lord's Supper. And so we looked at Scripture, and in Acts 2, it says that early church devoted themselves to the Lord's Supper, this breaking of bread. And then it says that they went house to house breaking bread. Has it ever bothered you that you've never done that? Has it ever bothered you that the only way you've ever taken communion was in this big room with a bunch of people facing forward, and you've never gone house to house breaking bread? In fact, it would be awkward for you to do it that way. You understand, when Jesus instituted communion, it was such an intimate and beautiful picture. In fact, Jesus, when he gathered his disciples together, he looks at them and goes, oh, I've longed for this moment. Jesus was about to die on the cross because I just longed to get my friends together, and there was a relationship there. And then he looks at his friends and he says, my body's going to be broken for you. My blood is going to be spilled out for you, and this cup is going to represent that. And he says, so when you break this bread, I want you to remember my body that was broken for you. Because when you take of this cup, remember my blood that was shed for you. Because this is what the forgiveness is going to come from. And there was an intense moment there as he explained what was about to happen. And he says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. This is the most amazing thing that anyone will ever do for you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lays down his life for you. And I don't want you to forget this. And so every time you break the bread, remember my body. Every time you drink this cup, remember my blood that was shed for you. And do this to proclaim my death until I return. I look at all of this and I go, wow, wouldn't that be beautiful if that's the way everyone did communion? And to recognize that's the way it was supposed to be. And I've heard so many people say to me, That's crazy. You'll never change it. We've created this thing, and it's almost like we've got to deal with it. Like nothing can change. And I'm going, is it really that difficult? I know it would be awkward, maybe the first time, to just sit your family down and after the meal to break a piece of bread and say, let's remember his body. I know it would be awkward if you're out to dinner with a bunch of friends and you just say, hey guys, let's remember what binds us all together. But it was a beautiful thing. This was awesome. You guys are the ones I know. You guys are the ones that I trust. You guys are the ones that I love, and I know that the world focused together. It's a beautiful thing in God's eyes. It's a devotion. When I look at the whole church scene back there, it seems a lot easier. Now, the commitment is larger, but it's simpler. And we don't have to have a giant building. We don't have to have all the lights and all the salaries and all just the craziness of all these details. And maybe some of that's even different. Because I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying, is it really impossible to go back to a simpler form of church? And isn't there something in us that actually longs for that? Type of gathering is more basic. There's a scary side to it. I mean, in the old way, you could hide. You could attend a service and maybe help out in the nursery, maybe even sing in the choir, and then during the rest of the time, you could build your own kingdom and live your own life. But what we're talking about here is a commitment. It's about 24/7. It's about being a part of something. Being a part of a mission always. It's about gathering with a group of people who really fear God. Who not just say they believe in Him, but they understand He's a holy God and gives us every breath that we have. And it's this idea of we gather together because we all agree He's someone we ought to fear. And it's gathering with a people group who understand that Jesus called us to follow Him. To really live for Him. And that's not just praying some prayer and making some decision, but it's about a lifetime of literally following Him and becoming like Him. It's gathering with people and saying, we're tired of just the natural, just doing things we know to do. We want to experience the Holy Spirit. We want to follow His leading and keep in step with Him. It's a group of people that are committed to fellowship. A true sharing of everything, because this mission is so important to us. And so we get together and we study this book together. We study it, we live it out, we encourage each other to live it out nonstop. And when we pray, we gather together and we're united because we know each other. We love each other, we share with each other, and together God sees His children bonding together to pray for the things that He desires. And then when we gather and we actually break bread and remind each other of the most important thing in our lives, there's something so powerful about that. The beautiful thing is that by God's Spirit, He puts this desire in our hearts. Where I want this, you want this. Because it's something that God is doing. Jesus said that He's going to build His church. And the question is, do you want to be a part of it? to stop attending and to really be in the church. The true church.
Thinking of my Susan's grandfather, and every time we get together, and when he prays, he preaches the gospel in his prayer. It's kind of like communion, where we remind each other why we exist, because Jesus made it happen. He died for us. He rose again on the third day. He forgave us of our sins, and he's given us life. And it's funny, it's kind of cool, because when Grandpa prays, he's in the midst of non-believers as well as believers. And so he's preaching the gospel to those that don't believe, but he's also having communion with those that do. And would it be interesting if we did that? I mean, we pray, you and I, I'm sure you pray before you eat. Sometimes we pray after we all put our meal in the microwave. And then once we come together and we are sitting at the table, then we pray. But why not say, hey, this is a time to remember as we gather together with food, what Jesus has done for us. That's communion. That's community. And so this morning, as we come to the table, I want to share with you a prayer. It's Francis Chan, or not Francis Chan, Saint Francis. See, I got it wrong. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. The next one. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And so this morning I want to give you kind of a explanation or explain to you what we're going to do. Because we're in community, because we're the church, we're going to serve each other. And so I'm going to start a song up on the screen. And I want you to take a few minutes, a moment, and to just seek the Lord and ask Him if there's something that you need to make right. maybe just to connect with Him this morning. And then I'm going to serve the worship team because they're going to lead us in a time of worship. And then I'm going to give the communion. I'm going to give the bread to somebody, and I'm going to give the drink to somebody. And then in turn, you're going to give it to somebody else. I don't care if this is systematic. I don't care if this is like schedule, this way. We're just going to do it. We're just going to have communion. We're going to serve each other. If you want to give communion, if it's your turn and you want to give communion to somebody that you need to make right with, go for it. And once you've gotten the bread and the cup, if you want to come up to the part up here where you can kneel, go for it. So I want to spend a time worshiping the Lord in community. Okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you did on the cross for us. We could never pay that back. And so you've given it to us for free. And so we are so grateful. And so as we express our gratitude in community, as we love one another, as we love you, as we learn to live in community and to have fellowship with one another and to pray for each other and to live life and to reach out to others, Lord, I pray that you would be pleased and that you would unify us as a church. And so this morning, as we come to the table, help us to celebrate as well as love like you loved. In Jesus' name, amen.